And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. It's about 10 minutes after 11 p.m. here on Saturday, March 19th, 2016, Program 61 of the WGN Radio Theater. I am your host, Carl Amari. At least I think that's my name. It says it on my driver's license, Lisa Wolf, to my right.
I'm going to go with that. Thank you.
All right. And Mike Estella, our executive producer in front of me, and Shane Reardon in the booth. He is handling all the dials, buttons, phone calls, and making sure that the classic radio shows come on the air.
He's on the phone already.
Yeah, he's working hard. What's up in there, buddy? How are you? Everything good?
Okay. How are you guys?
All right. Fantastic. Good. A man of many words over there, Shane. He's quick. On the draw. Quick draw McGraw.
Quick on the trigger.
Yeah, and we play classic radio shows. Did you know that, Lisa?
Yes, I do, Carl.
That's what we do here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. We play six classic radio shows every single weekend. And tonight, we're going to tune into Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Jack Webb. Then it's The Great Gildersleeve, starring Hal Perry. And then a mystery on the clock. And it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity School, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
The upcoming movie The Great Wall centers around the construction of the Great Wall of China and stars this actor as a mercenary from Europe.
All right, here is a hint. If you can identify this actor, you're going to win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. And what else?
And a $10 gift card for Calibre Coffee. We talked about them last week. They are the best coffee around. They're in the Arboretum of South Barrington.
All right, so two prizes. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor stars in The Martian.
So, I got to figure out a way to grow 3 years' worth of food here.
All right, so that's all. And you get a pizza. So he doesn't have to grow any food on Mars because you're getting a Lou Malnati's pizza. They'll ship it all over the place.
That
you know?
Is the best pizza.
And he could have some Calibre coffee on Mars.
You know what
well.
I had for dinner tonight?
Pizza?
Lou Malnati's pizza.
All right, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
So I got to figure out a way to grow 3 years' worth of food here.
We have Yolanda on the line from Chicago. Hey, Yolanda.
Hi.
Hi. Do you recognize that celebrity voice?
Yes, that's Matt Damon.
It is. It's a nice celebrity voice. Yolanda, you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You could check out their menu at loumalnati's.com. And a $10 gift card for Calibre Coffee, best coffee around. It's in the Arboretum of South Barrington. Yolanda, thank you so much for calling and for listening.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks.
I'm enjoying the show.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Thanks, Yolanda.
Okay,
all right, it's time for our first classic radio show. Good. Yeah, this is a detective adventure, Lisa, called Jeff Regan Investigator. Jack Webb starred as Jeff Regan. It debuted on CBS in 1948, and Regan was a tough private eye. He worked for the L.A.-based International Detective Bureau run by his money-grubbing boss, Anthony J. Lyon. And it was written by E. Jack Newman. It had the finest supporting cast in Hollywood, including Jeff Chandler, Paul Frees, William Conrad, and others. I think you will enjoy this. Let's go back to December 4th, 1948. For The Lawyer and the Lady, here's Jack Webb in part one of Jeff Regan, Investigator.
My name's Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
Jack Webb is Jeff Regan, Investigator, as CBS offers you hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Lawyer and the Lady.
Hello? Cosmopolitan building is on 7th Street near Olive, downtown L.A. International Detective Bureau is up on the third floor, suite 308. Right across from an elevator that hasn't been inspected since 29, when the guy who built the place took a vacation up at Folsom. I always use the stairs. Well, the plaster's bad, but the rent's cheap, and the lion says his office is just the kind of place that invites business. He's got a leather chair there, about the shape of a fallen biscuit. That's for him to relax on. And right next to a desk with some blank checks and an inkwell, there's a hard, straight chair. That's for the client. The lion got mad when our last customer asked if the chair was wired. Well, when I walked in last Thursday night about 6 o'clock, he was staring at that empty chair. Wishful thinking.
Regan, Christmas is coming.
Well, that's news.
It's the time of year when everybody's nice to everybody else.
Somebody give you a calendar?
I got better than that. It's a check.
From who?
His name's Kramer. He's a big lawyer.
We need one again?
He's our new client. He wants to see you.
What about?
He'll tell you.
You tell me.
I want you to be nice to him. He's a big man. His office is in the Park Central building. Abercrombie, Kramer, and Smith.
A trio.
It's an important legal firm in this city.
Well, what's the job?
I told you he'd give you all of it.
Look, the last time I waited for a client to talk, he died.
Now, look here. The kind of dough he pays, you could do janitor work for him and not ask questions.
Well, you never learn.
This is a certified check. Came by special messenger. He's waiting for you now.
What else?
The message said he wanted all this done confidentially. No police. You understand?
You'd kidnap your own mother for cash.
You're not alive.
And then you'd starve to death charging yourself ransom.
I'm going to be patient with you, Regan.
No, this is another rotten deal.
These big legal outfits can't afford to be dishonest.
You've been making a living doing it.
Kramer's in legitimate practice. I checked her.
Oh, sure you
did. I pay your salary and I take things as I see them.
Well, you need stronger glasses. Well, I left him sitting there holding the check up to the light. He had both arms above his head. He reminded me of a two-armed slot machine. I walked the four blocks over to the Park Central building, and an elevator operator with a cardboard collar took me up to the seventh floor. Abercrombie, Kramer, and Schmidt had a flock of stables in the back with a fire escape. The names were hung out in silver, and I figured if they were ambulance chasers, they used a motorcycle escort. I opened the door and stepped into a green carpet that needed mowing. Then I heard a noise at the deep end where the trout stream should have been. She had hair the color of smoke. The rest of her spiraled up to match. But she looked unhappy, like a termite in a granite quarry. She glanced at her typewriter, and then up at me, the Remington One.
We've already ordered our Christmas cards. Get them in July.
Or maybe I'm not selling.
You should. You're the type.
Kramer in?
He might be. But he never sends cards. Doesn't believe in Christmas.
Well, he sent my office a check.
Did he? What office is that?
I'm Regan, International Detective Bureau.
Stick to greeting cards.
Kramer sent for me.
Oh? He wants protection, huh?
You tell me.
Maybe it's something else.
Well, let's find out.
In a minute. He's busy right now.
What's the matter with Abercrombie?
He's dead.
Schmidt?
Wishes he was. Palm Springs with a hangover.
Yeah, real nice bunch. How long you worked for him?
Too long. My jokes are newer.
Well, Benny's making a move. Maybe he'll hire you.
I don't like funny men. What do you do when you're not working?
All depends on who I'm with.
Thought maybe you were antisocial. That's Kramer's.
I was ahead of her trying the door, but it was locked from the inside. She fumbled around on the desk and finally brought out a key. Kramer was sitting at his desk holding onto the front of his shoulder. His face was white and he wasn't feeling too good.
Fire escape. He got through there. Emmy, call Dr. Sorensen. This wouldn't look good in the papers. No pulley. Oh,
that's a big order.
Well, that's a big hole in his shoulder. Well, it was too late to start looking around the fire escape, and when Dr. Sorensen showed up, he called a private ambulance and had Kramer taken to a private hospital. The doc said he wouldn't be able to talk until morning, and, well, if they wanted it quiet, there was no sense getting homicide all excited. Emmy went to the hospital with him, and I hung around the office for a little while. Everything was locked up tight. The files, his desk, and the liquor cabinet. So I figured it was time to give the lion the nod. I doused the lights and went downstairs. Outside, the street was kind of vacant except for a steamroller with whiskers washing down the gutters. It dodged around a big green car parked by the curb, and then it swivel-hipped around my car, where a little guy in a trench coat was leaning in looking at my registration tag. When I tapped him on the shoulder, he looked confused, like he was trying to catch a cyclone in a paper bag.
Huh?
You looking for something?
Oh, no. No, just...
Looking.
Yeah, that's right. Looking.
Come on, blow your nose.
A little cold, that's all.
Tell me about it before your throat gets sore.
I told you, just looking.
The car belongs to the finance company in case you got extra keys.
No, Pilgrim. Never borrowed a buggy in my life.
You can't drive.
How'd you guess?
Come on, you, let's pour it out.
Sure. You the guy?
What guy?
Guy that says there. Regan.
I might be.
You want to make a mistake.
Deal, will you?
Somebody wants to see you.
Who?
Guy.
Well, I don't know him.
Yeah, guy says please.
Reads Emily Post.
That's right. Friend of mine. Weighs 285 pounds. He's across the street in the ice cream parlor. Last stool on the end.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody else is carrying my books home today.
Oh, he wouldn't care. Big man. Going to see him?
Can't he walk?
He says if you argue, mention the name Kramer. Now you going to see him?
How can I miss? He weighs 285 pounds. Oh, it didn't figure, but sometimes you look and nothing figures. Kramer had taken one on the shoulder, and before he'd been able to talk, the lights had gone out, and he wound up in a hospital. Well, somebody had an angle, and maybe it was the guy across the street. I found him sitting all alone, about 300 pounds of beard in a plaid coat. He was picking all the strawberries out of his ice cream. Hey, you set for me?
Mm-hmm. Regan?
You got it.
Have something. Great banana split here. Four kinds of ice cream.
I'm on a diet.
Oh, I never worry about things like that. It's a mistake. You only live once. Know me?
You got a name?
Speck Jameson. You know me now?
You got a grudge with Kramer?
Yeah.
You shot at him from the fire escape.
I did? When?
Half hour ago.
Anybody see me?
No.
That's good. How'd I do?
He got it in the shoulder. He'll live.
Up to that point, it could have been me.
Well, it's going to make a good story for the police.
For anybody. I'm clean as a whistle. You sure you won't have something?
Now, look, I got a date, Fatso. Let's fan this out.
Sure.
How about Kramer?
Oh, yeah. Where'd you say he was?
Hospital.
Oh, yeah. He hire you for protection?
Maybe.
Regan, you got a lot to learn about life.
No, just about living.
You catch on quick.
To what?
Now you take me, for instance.
Your complexion's not so good.
It'll improve. Besides, I don't like trouble, Regan.
Well, you'll have to get used to it.
It's just there's some things a man can't stand. Can't take lying down.
Name three.
No, I just want you to understand and know what I'm doing, that's all. And this is what I'm doing. All right, Regan. Back on your feet.
Yeah, they serve that ice cream in big dishes, don't they?
Give me a boost. Here's my hand.
Take off the knuckles.
Quiet, Regan. There's some more metal in my pocket.
I don't need a Geiger counter.
I said you were smart. Now get this. It's a clean sweep. You're staying out of it.
Suppose I stick around.
Then I'll unglue you.
I left him sitting there with his ice cream. Wouldn't have done any good to trade fists with him. But there was something in the way he talked about Kramer and the shooting that made it a Sunday puzzle. I found a phone booth and put in a call to the lion.
Regan, where you been? You see Kramer? What'd he say?
Well, now, which one do you want first?
What about Kramer?
He was all shot up.
Target practice.
Some guy with a grudge.
If he plays like that, yell cop.
Look, they'll want to see you. No police, remember?
What are you talking about?
Another bum client.
Why do these things always happen to me?
Because your palm is faster than your brain.
Every case has it.
Look, this is a three-ring circus, and we haven't even got any peanuts.
Well, maybe I should have found out what he wanted.
Oh, you say that now.
Who's got the grudge?
A sweet tooth. Calls himself Speck Jameson.
Speck? Where's he fit in?
He wouldn't stand still to show me his tea leaves.
You talked to him?
We met.
When people start asking questions, we don't want to be stuck without any answers. You get out and run down some dope on this man, Speck.
What are you going to do?
Don't worry. I'll take care of my end.
Yeah, most people do. Well, this job had more ups and downs than the Berlin airlift. I turned the phone book over to some drunk with a beer breath, and I walked over a couple of blocks to the morgue. I mean, the one where they keep dead newspapers. I got a friend who works in the file room of the L.A. Times. After 15 years of it, he's got about as much adrenaline as an old magazine in the attic.
Nope. No, I never heard of a Speck Jameson. Probably a nickname, isn't it? You know, Speck, short for glasses.
Yeah, I caught the drift.
Thought I was going to say spectacles, didn't you?
Hey, look, let's try this for size.
Yeah.
Big fat guy, but always hungry.
Mention any friend?
Kramer, and he wasn't a friend.
Speck Adams in last Thursday's paper.
What'd he do?
Executed the same day in Sing Sing.
Speck Jameson.
Released from Quentin day before yesterday.
Let me see.
That's all it says. Served full 10-year sentence continuous on 4 counts.
Somebody threw a book at him.
Yeah, maybe. Tell you in a minute.
Try December 38.
This case would have come up in November. Here we are. You take these.
Yeah.
Hey, look at the funny skirts. Short, weren't they? Hey, here's one. War impossible, says
look,
Senator.
Look, let's stick to the subject.
November 17th, Jameson appeal denied.
Read it, please.
A lot of stuff. He was in the rackets.
Go on.
Judge said unusual completeness of prosecution's case made retrial impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Continuous sentence upheld.
Who was the judge?
O'Govern, he's dead. Here's what you want. Special Prosecutor Joseph W. Kramer.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Joseph W. Kramer was brilliant and relentless work for the forces of good in Los Angeles.
It's for you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah?
Mr. Regan?
Yeah.
This is Emmy, Mr. Kramer's secretary. Are you always this hard to find?
Well, that depends on where you look.
Mr. Kramer wants to see you.
You talking now?
He's feeling much better. The doctor said it was just a flesh wound.
What kind?
38.
All right. Where's the hospital?
It's a little place on Hawthorne. Mrs. Kramer will show you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind going by the Biltmore and picking her up.
I haven't got my car.
Use Mr. Kramer's. It's in the garage there.
Is she expecting me?
I phoned.
15 minutes.
Good. He wants to thank you for what you did.
Well, what did I do?
Kept the police out of it.
Well, it's his show, but it may close.
What do you mean?
I ran into Speck Jameson.
Oh?
Now, you still want the police out of it?
I don't know. Mr. Kramer will tell you when he sees you.
Mm-hmm. You sound like you're changing jobs.
All right, that's the first portion of Jeff Regan Investigator, starring Jack Webb. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes, but it's time now for the news. It's 11:30 here on WGN. Here's David. Oh, let's take a quick break first. All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and if I'm slurring my words tonight at all, Lisa, you know why?
I do, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Because I'm having some Fabio Viviani wine tonight. I have it right now. I'm drinking some as I'm on the air. And it's very good. Fabio Viviani wines. And this is the blend. And you know what? We have the director of sales, Ryan Waltz, with us. Ryan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic.
Hang on a second. There we go. How's that? Better?
I'm doing fantastic.
Do I have the wrong one? I have the wrong one up? Okay, there. Sorry. I don't know.
Are we good now? There we are. I can hear myself. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's good to have you on the show. And thanks for bringing all of this wine. What are we going to do with all this wine, Lisa, other than have a party?
I think we're going to have a party.
Fabio Viviani
Fabio,
wine.
That's right.
FV. Okay, we have a special offer for our listeners, and we're going to talk to you about that in a minute. But tell us a little bit about Fabio Viviani Wines.
Sure thing. So Fabio Viviani is a celebrity chef. He owns a few restaurants here in Chicago and a couple others in Florida, California. And it's a collaborative effort with him. He's an owner. We source 4 bottles of wine. We have a Cabernet, a red blend, a white blend, and a Chardonnay, all coming from Clarksburg and Lodi, California, right outside of Sacramento in the Sacramento River Delta area. They're all line priced at $12.99 in Whole Foods currently, and the entire portfolio is extremely delicious. It's very fruit-driven. medium-bodied and well-structured, and it's a great value for the price.
Can you tell us about the differences between each wine and what about each wine stands out?
Absolutely. So we'll start off with the white. The white blend has seven different varietals in it, Grenache Blanc, Moscato, Riesling, Gewurztraminer, Viognier, Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio. It's very versatile. It's a great summer wine. It goes excellent with shellfish, seafood, cheese. And then we have a Cabernet, and the Cabernet is also coming from Clarksburg and Lodi. Very fruit-driven, big berry fruit, velvety tannins, nice long finish, a little bit of baking spice. The Chardonnay is more of your fruit lover's Chardonnay. It's not a big butter bomb. It's not overly creamy. Just a touch of French oak in there to bring it all together. Nice summer pear and golden apple. And then we have a red blend, which is Clarksburg and Lodi Cabernet, pieced in with a little bit of Russian River Pinot Noir to lighten it up and counteract the dryness in the cab. So it's a nice light blend. Again, perfect for summer. You don't need to be in 1 foot of snow out here in Chicago to enjoy it.
Well, I wish I could go into a restaurant and someone asked me, do you know anything about wine? And I could talk like Ryan.
Well, I was going to say, it's really nice that you have the understanding of each wine and that you can explain it and be very helpful in terms of what would be best with what. Because, you know, we don't always know.
I'm having a blend right now.
And this is a blend.
This is a blend. This is the cab and the...
The Pinot Noir, Russian River Pinot Noir. You get Pinot Noir, you want it from Russian River. It's the best place in California to source Pinot, in my opinion.
I'm drinking this wine, and it's fantastic. And I said to Ryan, I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is like a $30, $35, $40 bottle of wine. And he said to me, no, you can get that wine at Whole Foods for only $12.99.
And we have a special for our listeners. So do you want to give us a
sure
what it is?
Yeah. So outside of being in 43 Whole Foods locations in 8 states here in the Midwest, all line price of $12.99. We do have access online. So just go to www.fvwines.com/WGN, and you guys will be directed to a discount code, which is $10 off any purchase.
Wow, cannot beat that. And that's for 1 week.
That's for 1 week. That's right. It'll expire next Saturday.
Yeah, do it this week, folks. Even tonight, you can go to the website. Let's give the website again one more time, Ryan.
www.fvwines.com/WGN.
I posted this on our Facebook page, so if you missed it or want more information, check out our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. You can see a picture of Ryan, and you can see all of the wines, the whole group of wines, and check that information out on there.
Now, definitely get a bottle of wine. $10 off. You can't beat it. It's unbelievable wines. It's Fabio Viviani Wines, and check them out at Whole Foods or at their website. Ryan Waltz, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll have you back, definitely, because I want more wine.
I'll come bearing gifts, yes.
All right, let's get back now to Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Jack Webb.
So I went over to the garage, and I picked up his car, and then I drove to the hotel entrance. While I was arguing with a cab driver, Mrs. Kramer walked out. 45, a little tired around the eyes. She was wearing a white sheet, double bed size, under a mink coat that must have set somebody back $10,000. She didn't look like a wife that Kramer'd have.
I hope this isn't inconveniencing you.
No, it's not.
Are you sure my husband's all right?
He's talking, according to Emmy.
Emmy. She's there with him.
She's his secretary.
It's funny, isn't it? I'm his wife, yet she spends more time with him than I do.
Well, that's business.
Even now. When he's been hurt, she's there first.
She was there when it happened.
Of course. I guess I... Oh, never mind. You're a detective, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Kramer hired you to protect him from that Jameson.
I never found out. Maybe.
I've been so worried about him. At the trial, Jameson said he'd kill him if it was the last thing he ever did. You know, I always thought it was taking an awful...
Hey, take it easy, lady.
You know the story.
Emmy?
She's young, pretty. I have to spend my time at bridge parties.
Does it help?
No.
How long have you been married to him?
Next month. 18 years. I don't look the same way anymore.
Neither does he.
It's funny what life does to you, isn't it? I was his secretary once. That's how I met him.
Look, how far to the hospital?
It's only a few more blocks. You go straight...
Hang on. Who do you know that drives a big green Nash?
know him.
Well, he knows us. Been following us since we left the hotel.
What do you say?
Is he still with us?
Yes. I can't understand a thing like this happening. Why would anybody want to follow us?
Maybe it's a friend of your husband's.
James?
He tried once tonight. Maybe it'd be better to get you.
I'm scared.
Come on. Come on, get out, get out.
Mr. Regan!
The green Nash had been tailing me. I shook it on the last corner. There are lots of them, but it might have been the same one that was parked by my car downtown earlier. Oh, it made no sense, but I wasn't taking any chances. Only before I could get the door open, the Nash came sliding around the other side of the block. I shoved Mrs. Kramer into the floorboards and slid into the... A lot of glass got broken fast. By the time I could separate my teeth from the clutch pedal, the car had gone. I shook Mrs. Kramer, but she didn't shake. She was dead.
You are listening to the story of the lawyer and the lady, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator.
Well, it all made sense, like a Ubangi with a piccolo. It started when the lion sent me over to see a lawyer named Kramer. I got there just in time to meet Emmy, his receptionist, and find Kramer with a bullet in his shoulder. The hospital took over and I left. That's when I ran into Spec Jameson, an ex-con who Kramer put away some 10 years ago. He turned out to have a lot of stomach and a big hate for the lawyer. And then I got a call from Emmy to pick up Mrs. Kramer. I did, and the shots began, and she ended up a candidate for the city morgue. Well, I called homicide, and I sent out some boys to clean up. I gave them what I knew, and I moved on out to see Kramer. The Angels of Mercy Hospital turned out to be a private place off Hawthorne. Two stories of cement set down in the middle of a clover field. Figured that they only held a thermometer to patients that could make a big noise with a cash register. Kramer showed in an upstairs room next to a fire escape. He was climbing into an overcoat. When he saw me, he looked unhappy, like a pointer with a broken tail.
Well, Regan, I'm glad you came to see me.
Tell me that later.
What do you mean?
How's the shoulder?
Oh, a little annoying, but it's all right.
Well, that figures.
Why?
It was a neat shot, just enough to raise a little fever.
What are you driving at?
Give it a chance. It'll sink in.
Come on, let's get out of here.
All right.
Picked up my wife downtown?
Yeah.
Good, good. She worries a lot. You know, tell you what, Regan, I'll send a check around in the morning for another 100. That all right?
Make it 1,000.
What's that for?
Insurance against guys like you.
Never mind that, Regan.
Why didn't you tell the lion what you wanted in the first place?
I didn't know.
I got another story.
Well, you're wrong.
You knew Spec Jameson was out.
No reason I should tell you that.
I'm rehearsing a witness, that's all.
What?
Yeah, now let's hear what you did to him.
Nothing, not a thing. He can tell you that.
In 38, you got the book thrown at him.
He was a public enemy.
So smug.
Regan, a man in my position...
Maybe that's it. Maybe you're the kind of shyster that build a rap on convictions.
I'll grant you it helped. That's all you want.
So he hated you.
He made threats.
What cooled him off?
$10,000.
When?
After I discovered he meant business. I sent someone with the money.
Figured Jameson forget everything for cash.
Men of his stripe always will.
You made a mistake.
Everybody does sometimes. I guess Jameson is still using his gun.
Yeah.
But my shoulder will mend.
Your wife won't.
What do you mean?
She's dead.
No.
Homicide will tell you different.
I'd better go down to see them.
Yeah.
That bullet was meant for me.
Yeah, like you said, everybody makes mistakes. Well, we climbed in the taxi and headed for headquarters. Kramer looked confused. He mumbled a few words about what a good cook his wife had been, how he'd always tried to protect her from the stuff that he'd done to make a success. He was the kind of guy that always figured it was better to make a deal than face facts. Now he had to face a backfire. Well, there were a couple of newspaper photographers in front of the place. Kramer's shoulders dropped a couple of notches, then he headed for inside. I started in behind him, but an arm stopped me.
Regan, come here.
What are you doing out of bed?
Shut up. Get back in the taxi.
Look out, that meter will bite you.
I'm not paying the fare. Downtown driver.
Okay, Mac.
You know the cops are going to love you for this.
They can hear your side of it later.
Sure, and you'll stand behind me.
Now, Regan, I'll tell you how I figure this. She gets killed. It was a mistake.
Oh, now, that takes a big brain.
Kramer's got enemies. Said Emma enemy, did in the wife figuring to get Kramer.
That's the last chapter.
And we write the next one. Turn in said enemy, and we'll pick us up a nice fat reward.
Homicide started with Jameson already.
They're gonna be surprised.
What do you mean?
He didn't do it.
How do you know?
I look into things. That's how I know.
Well, all right, big shot. Open it up.
It goes this way. 15 minutes after I talk to you, I put a call into the cops.
Saying what?
That I don't like my operator being threatened by ex-cons. What happens?
You tell me.
The police themselves take Jameson out of circulation. He was locked up before Mrs. Kramer got found. He's sitting in the Hollywood Station house right now with a smile on his face.
Talking?
No. Eating ice cream.
Well, now it really made sense, like a mermaid on a bicycle. If Jameson didn't throw the lead, I had to find out who did. The taxi dropped me off downtown across from the Park Central building, and I started up the elevator to Kramer's office. It figured to be the time to get a look inside that locked desk. When I opened the door marked Abercrombie, Kramer, and Schmidt, the place was dark. I moved into Kramer's office and started a little work on the desk. It took me about 10 minutes to get inside. Nothing showed in the first two drawers, but in the third, I picked up a box of Panatellas and I looked under it. That's where I found a .38 with one bullet missing. Well, ballistics could do something about it, so I crammed it in my overcoat pocket and I started outside. That's when the door opened and the little guy with a runny nose walked in. He was wearing a suit the color of an avocado and his face looked like a fried banana.
It's a nice rug, huh?
You from the cleaners?
I make my own spots. Sit down, Regan. We're gonna talk.
I'll take it standing.
We prefer you sitting.
It's your gun.
More natural that way.
You got a name, Buster?
They call me the Dove.
The Bird.
No cracks. Just a Dove.
Peace mission?
It is. Rested.
All right, what is it this time?
Where's Kramer?
China.
Regan, you're an unlucky contestant.
If you don't like my answers, try somebody else.
That's what I'm doing, correcting mistakes.
Like shooting the wrong guy.
Like leaving a witness. I had to get rid of my Nash on account of you.
You killed her, now you're waiting for her husband.
Of course I killed her, but don't try to change the subject. It's you I'm talking about now.
Well, I don't like the spotlight.
They should have stuck your nose in here, Regan. It'll bleed.
Well, let's start with yours. I dove for him and the gun went off, only it wasn't pointed at me. Kramer was standing in the doorway pulling a trigger like a kid at a bubblegum machine. I figured the floor was safer, so I flattened out. The Dove tried the same, only he hit the wastebasket.
Did I get him?
Yeah. He looks as dead as he'll ever be.
A cheap murdering...
Let me hold the gun, huh, Kramer?
Yes. Oh, Regan, there's a bottle in the cabinet there.
Sure. There you are.
Thank you.
Now, what are you going to do now?
I don't know. Call the police, I guess.
I thought you were with them.
I came down in their car to get some of my files.
On the old Jameson case?
Yes.
You want to tell me?
Oh, it's about as you know. He was a small-time grifter. I gave myself a big name by prosecuting him, built my business and the reputation it gave me.
You told the police why he hates you?
Oh, yes. I intend to stand trial for killing this man.
You're growing up, Kramer.
Was he, anyway?
The Dove.
No driver's license. Oh, yes, here it is. Dove Duval.
Regan, look at this.
It's a lot of money.
It's $10,000. Same amount of money I sent to Jameson to stay away from me. Looks like the chickens came home to roost, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Well... Police are waiting. I better go and tell them about this.
Go on.
Coming?
No, I'll meet you there, Kramer. I got a late date. I gave the boys downstairs the high sign, then I moved out of there fast. I found Emmy's place just off Normandy. It was a brand new duplex with a gilt-edged driveway and stocks and bonds for awnings. For a business girl, she really did all right. I was a couple of hours overdue, but the girl with the smoky hair knew how to wait. There was a candle burning in her window and two more in her eyes. It took me a little time.
But now you're here.
Uh-huh.
Well, aren't you going to do something about it?
Yeah. Talk.
Mr. Regan, what's the matter with you?
I've been working hard.
Oh, is that all?
Now listen, lady. This is just too pat, too neat. The ends tied together like Siamese twins.
I'm alone.
Yeah, but you don't want to be. Your boss just rubbed out a killer named Dove.
What?
It was self-defense. I'm a witness, and he'll be out of it inside a week.
Well, then what are we bothering about?
A guy named Jameson. Nobody will believe him.
Why should they?
Because they didn't hire the Dove.
Who did?
You.
Mr. Regan.
All right, maybe it was your boss. He primed me with a story about giving Jameson 10 G's. Only one ever saw that dough was the Dove.
Well?
That was his price for killing Mrs. Kramer.
You're out in left field, Mr. Regan. I was working.
You were keeping me outside till Kramer could throw a small bullet into his shoulder.
Why would he do that?
To point up that Jameson was still after him.
But he was.
I figured different. And homicide's gonna like my way.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, this gun has a different version.
Where'd you get it?
Kramer's bottom drawer. And the caliber is gonna fit the hole in your boss's shoulder.
Well, that's it. You've got it all now.
Yeah. You know, you got a real nice hair.
Yeah?
That San Quentin water's gonna ruin it. Well, the whole thing came apart like a paper hat in a shower bath. Seems that when Jameson got out of prison and threatened Kramer, the lawyer and his secretary figured that it was a good time to get rid of the wife. I suppose she interfered with their skiing or something. Anyway, they hired the Dove to do the job and then got rid of him just so he couldn't ever come to bat for the fall guy, Jameson. Yeah, they had a perfect frame fixed for him, and I was picked to decorate the edges, only it didn't work. Everybody was positive about this one. Kramer knew he was going to win. Emmy knew she was in for a big cut. And the Lion knew he was going to collect a fat fee. They should have all figured it. This is the year for upsets.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan with Herb Butterfield as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS at the same time next week for more hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, Investigator. Written by Jackson Gillis and D. Jack Newman. Produced by Sterling Tracy. Featured in tonight's story were Carol Matthews, Marvin Miller, Lou Krugman, Herb Bygren, Mary Lansing, and Larry Dudkin. Original music for this program is by Milton Charles. This is Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Jeff Regan, Investigator, December 4th, 1948, The Lawyer and the Lady, starring Jack Webb. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
You know my lines, too, huh?
Can we not get hung up on knowing lines?
Yeah.
And we have Martin on the line from Evanston. Hey, Martin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Martin, do you recognize that celebrity voice?
Sure, Michael Keaton.
Yes, and Birdman was a great movie, and you are absolutely right, and you are a double winner tonight. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Home of Chicago's very best deep dish pizza, and you have also won a $20 gift card for Anna Shea Chocolates and Lounge. That's in the Arboretum of South Barrington. You can check them out at annashaechocolates.com. Thank you, Martin, so much for calling in and for listening to the WGN Radio Theater.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, and I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Oh, good. We hope you'll keep listening.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. All right, Lisa Wolf, you ready for a... what did I do? What happened? Did I say Martin? Oh, I'm sorry, Martin.
That's right.
That's because I've been having Fabiano Viviani wine, right?
Yeah, just blame it on the wine or the black ice, or just blame it on me,
What did
Carl?
I call him? What did I say?
I heard Ryan.
Did I say Ryan? All right, sorry about that. Well, you know what? I won't goof up. Hal Perry stars as the Great Gildersleeve, Lisa.
Yes, the Great Gildersleeve.
And you like this comedy show.
I do, and a lot of people are still asking for comedy, so we shall deliver.
You know what? This was the first spinoff in radio. You know that, right? So there was Fibber McGee and Molly, and then one of the characters on Fibber McGee and Molly was the Great Gildersleeve. You know, Hal Perry is Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Yep.
He spun off for his own show. It was the first time ever a spinoff. And so there's a little trivia for you. If you ever go on Jeopardy and they ask who the first spinoff was, it was the Great Gildersleeve. And it starred Hal Perry, and he moved from Wistful Vista
to Summerfield. He became the town water commissioner. He was an eligible bachelor. He was raising his orphan niece, Marjorie, and nephew, Leroy, and their cook was Bertie. And it was the first show of a single parent raising children. Did you know that, too?
Well, very, very forward.
Yeah. 1950, he left the series, Hal Perry did, to star in a new series called Honest Herald. Then Willard Waterman stepped in, and he also took it to TV. So Willard Waterman was also the Great Gildersleeve. But we have a Hal Perry episode for you now going back to October 15th, 1944. It's called Seeking Employment, something we all have to do in our life, seek some employment. Unless you own Anna Shea Chocolates and you have your employment all figured out for you for the next 50, 60 years.
Well, we hope that we're not seeking employment in the near future.
I might go work over there. I'd eat the chocolate and that'd be my pay. That's how I would do it. All right.
You missed a little show out the window.
All right, let's tune this in. Part one now of The Great Gildersleeve.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products, presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. Kraft brings you The Great Gildersleeve every week at this time, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore, music by Claude Sweet. Now let's join our friend The Great Gildersleeve. After weeks of correspondence with his old friend Fibber McGee in Wistful Vista, a model of McGee's plastic mousetrap has arrived by special delivery. With Marjorie and Leroy at his heels, Gildersleeve bears it triumphantly out to the kitchen.
Well, Bertie, there it is. The world's first plastic mousetrap.
Looks good, huh, Bertie?
Yeah, it looks good, but it sure don't look like a mousetrap.
Well, this is no ordinary mousetrap, Bertie. Look, I'll show you how it works. Mr. Mouse walks in here, walks along this little path in here, turns through here, and bingo, he falls through here.
If he don't get lost first.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Gildersleeve, if you say so, it's a mousetrap. Well, what you gonna use for bait?
Bait? Well, haven't we,
Not a thing, Mr. Gildersleeve. I don't think there's a thing in the house that would really appetize a mouse.
There must be something. How about bacon? The points are off it.
The points are off of it, but there ain't no bacon.
Oh. Yeah, too good for him anyway. Now, let's think now. What would I like if I were a mouse?
A piece of pie and a glass of milk.
We don't need to provide a chaser, Leroy. Pie isn't a bad idea, though. Apple pie?
How about a piece of apple? Mice love apples.
We ain't got any apples either, Miss Marjorie.
Well, now let's be scientific. What have the mice been getting into, Bertie?
Pancake flour. But you can't bait a trap with pancake flour.
You could make them a pancake.
You could miss it. All right, Leroy. I guess we'll have to get something tomorrow. Confound it, this is very annoying, Bertie. Brand new mousetrap, an invention that's going to make us millions of dollars, and nothing to bait it with.
Well, those are the breaks, kid.
You go to bed, Leroy.
What?
Go to bed. We'll just leave the trap here by the pancake flour, Bertie. Who knows? Maybe Mousy will walk into it. Oh, thank you, Bertie. Wait a minute, Leroy. Have you finished your breakfast?
Holy cow, I had 11 pancakes. I'm shoving off, Unc. See you later.
Just a minute. You too, Marjorie. I want to hold a family conference.
About what?
Well, I'm going to have to ask you children for a little cooperation. Bertie, you too. You see, all the money's going out these days, and none of it's coming in.
Yeah, how about that, Unc? When are you going to get off the dime?
I don't understand that expression, Leroy, and I don't think I like it either.
Well, aren't you ever going to get a job?
If you'll be quiet a minute.
I know just the job, Uncle Mort. Hogan Brothers need a floor walker.
Floor walker?
They have a sign in the window.
Yeah, I guess that's the easiest job there is, Unc. Why don't you grab it?
A man doesn't step out of a career in the public service to become a floor walker. I'm not looking for a job anyway. I'm merely asking you people to hold down on expenses. McGee and I are going to need every cent we can scrape together to get into production.
Uncle Mort, I've been thinking. Why don't you be a diplomat?
Diplomat?
Yeah. It'd be wonderful to travel around in foreign countries and go to state dinners and formal balls. Don't you think so?
Yes, it would. Of course, that's not all there is to it, my dear. Say, I wonder how you get into that. Have to have a pull, I suppose.
Well, you must know somebody in Washington, don't you?
The fellow I went to college with has a job in the Department of Agriculture. I wonder if he knows how.
You can't be a diplomat unless you can talk all kinds of languages.
Well?
Parlez-vous français, Uncle Mort?
No, but I bet I could pick it up in a hurry. Bertie, how'd you like to live in France? Voulez-vous?
Oui, oui, Mr. Gildersleeve. Beaucoup.
Bertie, where did you learn French?
My brother learned a little French in the last war and passed it along.
Yeah, I'd like to hear Bertie hobnobbing with a French chef. Mademoiselle, should the filet à sole be cooked comme ici or comme ça?
Say, you're pretty good too, Unc. Gosh, I'm the only one in the family that can't talk French.
Well, we'll put you in a French school, Leroy. You'll be talking like a native.
Jeepers, would Piggy Banks be surprised? Listen to it, Unc.
Well, I might look into it. See who that is, will you, my boy?
Yeah, it's probably Piggy. Can I go now if it's Piggy?
Yeah, we'll see.
Hello? Yeah, just a sec. For you, Unc.
Oh, thank you, my boy. Hello? The indicator. Well, see who's at the door, will you, Bertie?
Okay.
I was talking to someone at this end. Yes, I'd be very glad to see you. This morning would be fine. Oh, no, thank you, miss. Goodbye.
He's right in here, Judge.
Thank you, Bertie. Well, good morning, all.
Judge, golf knickers. I haven't seen a pair in years.
Rhymony, get him.
Nothing so extraordinary about golf knickers. I thought it was getting a little chilly, and they might feel nice later on in the afternoon. Come on, Gildy. We need you to fill out the fumbling foursome.
Sorry, Judge, but I'm being interviewed by the press in a few moments.
Well, for goodness sake, about what?
About my plans for the future and so on.
Uncle Mort is thinking of going back to work.
Don't misquote me, my dear.
Well, about time.
We were just discussing the possibility of a diplomatic career, Judge.
You? A diplomat?
Why not? Well, what's so funny?
You? You a diplomat? I'm sorry, Gildy, but I think that's the funniest thing I ever heard.
I don't see anything funny about it. I'd love it.
Same here.
Well, it would be fine for you children, but...
Now see here, Hooker.
I'm sorry, Gildy. I'm terribly sorry. But the diplomatic career is not for you.
Why?
Well, in the first place, you have to be a millionaire. And in the second place, you're the most undiplomatic man I ever met.
How would you like a punch in the nose, you old goat? Why, George, you'd get one if you weren't such an old, old goat.
Well, there's a fair sample of your diplomacy. The punch in the nose isn't being used this season at Dumbarton Oaks.
If you were there, it would be.
Now, look at it reasonably, Gildy. You know a diplomat's salary is nothing. He has to entertain out of his own pocket. All these state dinners of Marjorie's, you pay for them.
Gee, never thought of that.
Nobody but a millionaire can afford to take the job.
Yeah, you're right. I'd forgotten that. I'm glad you dropped in before I wrote to Washington.
Yeah, Unc had the job practically sewed up.
Yes.
Well, why don't you stop fooling around and get busy and find yourself a permanent connection that'll keep your family from want?
Listen, Hooker, I don't want any permanent connection. In a few weeks, McGee and I will be in production with our Mousetrap.
Mousetrap?
Yes. And this Mousetrap is going to be bigger than you or me.
Oh, fiddle. Why don't you go out to the war plant and see Nelson Humstone? I can fix it up.
Now, what
for
do
you.
I want to see him for?
Humstone is a big man.
If he was a big man, you wouldn't know him. Why should I go out there with my hat in my hand?
You know, Gildy, I believe you're afraid you'd get a job.
Nothing of the kind.
Then why don't you let me fix it up with Humstone?
Why are you so anxious for me to see Humstone, Judge? Are you getting a commission on this?
That's a nice thing to say to a friend.
Yes, yes. Oh, must be the lady from the indicator. If you'll excuse me, Judge.
Don't worry, I'm leaving.
Sorehead. You're just jealous because she isn't interviewing you.
It so happens, my friend, that she interviewed me 3 months ago. When she comes to see you, she's getting pretty near the bottom of the barrel.
Why? Go on, get out of here, get out of here.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, that's all very interesting about your early life, but I want to know about your plans for the future. I understand you're thinking of going into manufacturing.
Thinking of it? I'm certainly going into manufacturing. Going to manufacture a plastic mousetrap. Revolutionary.
Oh, yes, plastic.
Oh, but it's not an ordinary plastic. My partner, Mr. Fibber McGee of Wistful Vista, he invented the trap. He's worked out an entirely new plastic. It's cheaper than soybean plastic, made out of soybeans and rhubarb.
Why is that cheaper?
Cheaper? Well, because nobody likes rhubarb.
Well, that should be a nice little business.
It won't be little very long, miss. Mousetraps is just the first step. Plant number one. Then it'll come plastic dishes, plastic radios, alarm clocks, plastic pianos.
Houses?
Certainly.
Stocking?
Undoubtedly. By in no time at all, Summerfield will be the plastic capital of the world, surrounded by acres of soybeans and rhubarb.
That's simply marvelous, Mr. Gildersleeve. You'll go down in history as Summerfield's greatest benefactor.
I wouldn't be surprised. Will you be able to print all this?
Oh, yes. But I ought to get back to the office now and start writing it. Oh, just one more thing. When do you think you will actually get into production?
Any minute, my dear. Almost any minute.
Then I'd better hurry.
Yeah. Huh?
Mr. Gildersleeve, it's been very interesting.
Well, thank you. If you need any more figures or facts, feel perfectly free to call on me.
I will. Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Goodbye, miss. It's been a pleasure. Well, guess that'll show this town who's a big man. I guess that'll make a few people sit up and...
Hey, the mouse trap!
Eureka! We've caught a mouse! The age of plastics has begun!
But, Unc!
Where's the mouse, Leroy? We'll have him stuffed and keep him as a historic souvenir. A monument.
Not this mouse, Unc. He ate up half the trap and ran away.
Ate it? Oh!
Okay, it's the first portion of The Great Gildersleeve from October 15th, 1944, Seeking Employment, starring Hal Perry. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Dr. Dan is here. Know that there is no greater pancake artist on the planet. You're going to make a pancake of my head?
Yeah.
All right, do you have enough batter?
I think so. Okay. I might need to mix a little extra.
What's the largest head you've ever made a pancake?
I did a Donald Trump pancake once.
Oh, he's got a huge head.
Yeah, you know, it's got...
Do you need me to pose for this, like Kate Winslet in Titanic? Do I have to be shirtless and lay on a couch?
Do we have a say in that?
Listen to Steve Hotcakes Cochran. I just want to make sure Dan has, you know, my good side, which would be the back of my head. God bless the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Weekday morning, 6 to 10 on 720 WGN.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your car today.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Heidi, it is 12:30 in the morning, and it's time for WGN News with Roger Battish.
Thank you very much. What worries Illinois voters most? The economy, according to exit polling done by the Tribune. 40% of Republican voters and 48% of Democratic voters listed job availability and the economy as their number one concern this election season. The Northeast bracing for snow on the first day of spring. Parts of Massachusetts, including Boston and Cape Cod, and parts of Rhode Island could get 4 to 8 inches of snow Sunday through Monday. 4 to 7 inches predicted for Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and parts of Connecticut. Philadelphia, New York could get 1 to 2 inches. 27-year-old Francisco Juarez died early Saturday after the car he was in was hit by a drunk driver going the wrong way on the Bishop Ford Freeway. Happened near 147th Street and closed that section of the expressway for several hours. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24-7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471.
Join John Weideman, Judd Surratt, and me, Justin Kaufman, for a live broadcast at Pequod's Pizza in Chicago on March 23rd from 7 to 11 p.m. Enter to win prizes from Pequod's, Gunzo's Hockey Headquarters, and premium Blackhawks tickets. Get details at WGNRadio.com/events.
Is there someone in your family with a disability or special need? Is their future care protected? Confused by complicated government benefits? Protected Tomorrows, a leader in assisting families with special needs, can help you. Protected Tomorrows has over two decades of experience creating life care plans for those with special needs. When you can't be there, they will. Get help now at ProtectedTomorrows.com or call 866-544-NEED. 866-544-NEED. Is there someone in your family with a disability or special need? Is their future care protected? Are you confused by complicated government benefits? Protected Tomorrows, a leader assisting families with special needs for over two decades, can help you. Protected Tomorrows will set up a tailored care plan for the rest of your loved one's life. When you can't be there, they will. Get help now at ProtectedTomorrows.com or call 866-544-NEED. Protected Tomorrows has a passionate, dedicated team of professionals who have a personal connection with a special needs community nationwide. They understand the concerns of families like yours. Protected Tomorrows will bring you peace of mind for the years ahead. Get help at ProtectedTomorrows.com or call now 866-544-NEED. That's 866-544-NEED. 866-544-NEED.
Sports, your Hawks hosting Minnesota tonight. The pregame's at 7. Face-off 7:30 with John Weideman, Troy Marie on 720 WGN at WGNRadio.com. In the NCAA tournament, your winners, Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, Iowa State, Gonzaga, Indiana, and Kansas. Games today, Syracuse against Middle Tennessee, VCU against Oklahoma, Northern Iowa taking on Texas A&M, Oregon against St. Joe's, Iowa against Villanova. It'll be Maryland versus Hawaii, Notre Dame taking on SF Austin, and Wisconsin against Xavier. Bulls beat the Jazz 92-85 in state boys basketball championship action in the 3A tournament. Altoff Catholic is the state champion, beating Lincoln Way West. And in the 4A, Curie from Chicago beating Bennett Academy out of Lyle, 65-59. Exhibition baseball, the Sox beat the Dodgers 4-2. Cubs losing to Cleveland 10-5. Sox will be at Oakland later today. Cubs taking on Kansas City. And in soccer, a 0-0 tie between Columbus and the Chicago Fire. In the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Jason Day hanging on to a two-stroke lead after three rounds. Checking WGN traffic, Kennedy Express Lane's eastbound closed until 8 o'clock in the morning for road work, and Wilson is closed between Broadway and Racine until 5 o'clock Monday morning because of work being done on the CTA Red Line. Checking the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, partly sunny, breezy, high near 39 today, getting down to 33 Sunday night. Monday up to 44 under partly sunny skies. Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers after 1. Partly sunny, breezy, a high near 60. Temperatures now 36 at O'Hare, 38 at Midway, 35 Palatine, 37 along the lakefront, and winds out of the northeast at 16. Next News 1 or when news breaks, and at WGNRadio.com. I'm Roger Battish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, ooh, ooh, Lisa. I'm saying ooh, ooh, looking at this chocolate.
Well, I think chocolate is a stimulant, isn't it?
Yes, it is,
and
actually.
And I'm feeling stimulated by it.
Whoa. Is this love line?
No, I mean it. It brings you energy and it makes you feel good. We have Julie Rayo here, the general manager of Anna Shade Chocolates and Lounge. It's great to have you here with us.
Thank you so much for inviting us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, now they're in the Arboretum of Barrington in South Barrington. They've been there 7.5 years since they opened, right?
Yeah, we opened with them all in 2008.
And there's nothing like, I've never seen chocolate like this in my life.
Well, we have a beautiful display of all different kinds of chocolates. Would you give us a little description of some of your favorites that you've brought with us today?
Well, I just ate my favorite, actually, the Heart of the Ocean, which is our...
That's why you're smiling.
That's right. It's our dark chocolate ganache with sea salt on top. One of my absolute favorites. And my other favorite is one you ate, Lisa, the Midnight Maracaibo. It's the 88% single origin Grand Cru chocolate.
Well, Lisa ate like 25 of them, so...
Well, the last one.
It's really delicious, although there's a lot of really delicious things. There's some seasonal items. There's dark chocolate Easter eggs. And tell us more about what's here.
Well, we currently have about 35 flavors. We always rotate in about 5 seasonal flavors. We just finished with our St. Patrick's Day chocolate, so we had our Guinness truffle and our Bailey's Irish coffee, which is a combination of Jameson coffee, Metropolis coffee, actually, and Bailey's infused into milk chocolate, and then it's in a milk chocolate shell, so you kind of get all those flavors. We'll be coming out with our spring-summer collection real soon.
Do you come up with these ideas?
You know, it's a huge team effort. We've got a team of 8 chocolatiers. We all work together on flavor profiles, what new flavors that complement, that contrast. There's a whole, it's a whole science behind chocolate. It's a pretty involved process.
You know what, too? I've been in Anna Shea Chocolates in Lounge, and here's the cool thing. You can go in there and have a drink and have some coffee and sit in these wonderful cushy chairs and lounge chairs. It's a great place to hang out. And you have like little parties in there and girls' nights out and things like that there, right?
Exactly. It's such a unique destination. I'm so proud of what we do with such a small staff and such a small company. But we fill so many voids and can hit a lot of people.
Yeah.
They're not only beautiful, they are truly delicious. I see that you've stolen some of the packages
are
done. Some are made for red wine and some are made to complement white wine.
Exactly. Yeah. We do a lot with wine and chocolate pairings, beer and chocolate. We had a Lagunitas representative come out last year and do a 7 beer and chocolate pairing with some of our confections and bonbons.
Now, here's the thing. We always, when we ask a wonderful company to come in here and talk about their company, we always ask them, please give our listeners something special. And Julie has a 10% off. If you go in to Anna Shea Chocolates and Lounge in the Arboretum of South Barrington from now until the end of April, you can have 10% off of everything. And this is great because Easter's right around the corner. Come in there and just mention WGN, right?
Exactly. Right.
We are also giving away $25 gift certificate next hour, so you can listen up for that. And we will
post... I think it's $20, right?
$20. Yes.
Sorry. And we will be posting...
Lisa made a mistake?
No, I didn't. We will be posting
pictures... It's the chocolate.
We will be posting pictures
What's
of
today's
the
date?
Delicious
Lisa made a mistake.
No, I didn't. On our website, on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook, and we will give out the website, which is AnnaShayChocolates.com. It's spelled S-H-E-A for Shea.
Correct.
Well, Julie, it's great to meet you. And also, your husband, Tony, is here, too. He didn't want to talk on the air, though.
But he did taste some chocolate.
He did.
He's the muscle.
He is the Anna Shea husband to all. We couldn't do it without him.
All right. Well, it's good to see Tony as well over there. Hey, Tony. And, Julie, I'll be seeing you at Anna Shea.
Come by
sure.
and see us. We've got an event coming up in April.
Tell us about it.
It's actually Chase Away the Rainy Showers. We're going to do some rainy day comfort food, a little trio, some paired with a delicious one of our chocolate martinis, a dessert course with our chocolates. Come on out. I'm personally inviting you.
April 21st.
April 21st.
You know what? You're very good on the air. You should have a radio show. You know that?
Do you need a partner? You know, a trio?
Yeah,
we could do a trio.
Chocolate.
I'll bring chocolate.
It's like a chocolate radio show. I think it's. We came up with something there. We're syndicated.
I think we could do it.
We got something there. All right. The website AnnaShayChocolates.com. Stop in at the Arboretum of South Barrington and say hello to Julie or Tony or her staff of chocolatiers.
Yes.
And get 10% off of anything. Not bad.
I
mention WGN.
Word, chocolatiers.
Yeah, come out and see us. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks. Great to see you here. All right, let's get back to this now. October 15th, 1944. Hal Perry as the Great Gildersleeve.
Let's return now to the Great Gildersleeve. Despite the glowing story the Indicator has published about him, it's a chastened Gildersleeve we find on Monday morning. He's come to the conclusion that he was a little hasty in brushing off Judge Hooker's offer to help him get a job at the war plant, and he's set out in search of his old friend now to patch things up. Finding him shouldn't be too difficult, for his daily schedule is as unvarying as a timetable. At exactly 9:17 each morning, the judge steps into Floyd Munson's barbershop for a shave.
Ooh, 9:30 right now. Floyd is probably down around his Adam's apple.
Oh, Throckmorton.
Oh, hello, Leela.
Throckmorton, just a minute.
Yes, hi, Leela. A little busy right now.
Well, I was just going to phone you.
Phone me? You do that, Leela. You do that.
But Throckmorton,
I've got to catch the judge before he leaves here. You care to step in with me?
Into a barbershop?
Well, then phone me later. That's a good girl. If I'm not in, leave a message.
Hi, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Floyd.
Hi, Mrs. Ransom. How's it going?
Ransom!
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
Fine morning. Yes, indeed, fine morning.
Hey, Judge, fresh to the daisy.
Thank you, Butch.
Seems to be getting a little colder these days, Judge.
My collar inside, please, Floyd.
Yeah, Judge.
Horace, if I've said or done anything to hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. Now, about that job, I think it was a great idea you had there for me to get in touch with Humpstone.
Then go ahead and get in touch with him.
But you know him, Judge, and I don't. I thought if you could just fix it up for us to meet.
My coat, please.
Yes, sir.
Now, seriously, Horace, I said I was sorry, didn't I? What more can I do? Hey, wait a minute. Horace, seriously. Listen, you don't have to get huffy just because I happen to... Horace! All right, go on. Go on, you stubborn old goat. No, I ask you, Floyd, I ask you, seriously.
Judge seems a little peeved this morning.
Old rooster. I didn't tell him, but his shoe's untied. I hope he trips.
Say, saw that article about you in the paper there, Commissioner.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Quite a write-up. Not giving away any stock in that mousetrap company of yours, are you? Not giving away any samples.
No, we haven't exactly got it organized yet, Floyd. You might say it's pending.
Uh-huh. Fellow come in here and sold me some oil stock back around 1928. That's pending, too.
Well, this is different. Say, Floyd.
Uh-huh.
You don't happen to know this fellow Nelson Humpstone, do you? The manager out at the factory?
Nelson Humpstone? Yeah, I know him.
You do? Oh, that's fine.
Well, I say I know him. He comes in here for haircuts.
He does? The next time he comes in, Floyd, I wonder if...
Well, I say he comes in for haircuts. He came in once.
Oh. Did you get a chance to talk with him?
Yeah, I talked with him.
What kind of a man is he, Floyd? Nice fellow? What'd you two talk about?
Well, I say I talked with him. I did most of the talking.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. Fella comes in, he don't say much. Sits down in the chair, remarks he'd like a shave. So, okay, I start in. First I mention it's a nice day out.
Never mind what you said. What did he say?
Didn't commit himself much one way or the other. So then I ask him who's going to win the election. That usually gets him if the weather don't.
What did he say?
Said he hadn't made up his mind, and with that he shuts his eyes like he was going to sleep. So I says to myself, okay, if he don't want to talk, okay. I'm not one of these barbers that runs off at the mouth all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If a man don't want to talk, that's all right with me. I can take a hint. Sometimes I don't want to talk myself. Sometimes I'll be quiet for whole minutes at a time, just thinking. The wife says to me at night sometimes, Floyd, for goodness sake, she says, why don't you stop thrashing around and go to sleep? Just thinking.
Getting back to Humpstone, Floyd.
Oh, yeah. So he's laying there with his eyes closed, and I'm shaving him. Well, I might have never heard another peep out of him, only the razor slipped.
You call yourself a barber?
Well, your razor would have slipped, too.
It would? What do you mean?
Well, I'm looking out the window, and I happen to see one of the Bagley sisters waltzing by. So I wave to her with my razor. Just being friendly, you know what I mean? And who comes along right behind her but the wife? Boy, I got back to work so fast, no wonder I nicked him.
Well, what did he do? Ball you out?
No, it's a funny thing. He just opens one eye and says, watch it. Gave me a quarter, too, when he left. But you know, he's never come back. Funny fellow, Humpstone. Hard to figure out.
Yeah, well, I can see you aren't going to be much help to me, Floyd.
Oh, sorry, Commissioner.
You don't know anybody else who knows him?
Might try Peavy.
How would Peavy know him?
Well, I'll tell you, I always seem to be out of court class to hear somehow, so when I run into a little bad luck with a customer, I usually send him along to the drugstore, and Peavy patches him up.
It's a wonder he has time for anything else.
Yeah, well, I drew blood with Humpstone there, so who knows, maybe him and Peavy struck up an acquaintance.
I'll try him, Floyd. Goodbye.
So long, Commissioner. Be seeing you at the Jolly Boys Club tomorrow night?
That depends, Floyd. Depends on how jolly I feel.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well. Hello, Peavy.
Just reading a little item about you in the paper here. Very complimentary.
Yes, I know, I know. Peavy, you don't happen to know this Nelson Humpstone, do you?
Nelson Humpstone?
Yeah.
Manager out the war plant?
Yeah.
That plant used to be the old tack factory before they took it over.
Yeah, that's the one.
A large man, a little taller than you.
Yeah, do you know him?
No, Mr. Gildersleeve, I don't. I've seen him around.
But Floyd said he'd been in here. He said he sent him in here one day with a cut on his chin.
So many come in here with cuts on their chin, Mr. Gildersleeve. It's a little hard to remember. Why are you so interested in Mr. Humpstone?
I'm very anxious to contact him in regard to a business matter.
Oh, a business matter.
Yes, a very important one.
If important.
Has to do with employment.
Employment. And post-war?
Right now. You must know, Peavy, I've got to get a job.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I don't understand. It says in the paper there about your plans for the future.
Baloney, Peavy, all baloney.
But what about Mr. McGee and his...
Put not your trust in McGee. That was my mistake. 5 whole weeks waiting around, and what have I got to show for it? Frankly, I don't know what I'm going to do, Peavy.
Well, if $50 would help to tide you over, I...
Thanks, Peavy. I'm not hard up. Not yet. Just worried, that's all. But you're a real friend. I'll remember this.
It's all right, Mr. Gildersleeve. Well, speaking of friends, there goes Mrs. Ransom.
Let her go. I have no time for dames now. My problem is to get in touch with Nelson Humpstone.
Looks as if she's coming in.
Oops.
Good morning, Mrs. Ransom.
Hello, Mr. Peavy. Throckmorton, you've been avoiding me.
Now, Leela, not at all. I'm a little busy today, that's all.
You don't deserve it, Throckmorton, but I've been trying to invite you to dinner this evening.
Oh, that's very nice, Leela, but I don't know about this evening. You see,
Throckmorton, I simply refuse to take no for an answer. Friend of mine wants to meet you, Nelson Humpstone.
Well, that's very good. Nelson Humpstone? Leela, is Nelson Humpstone a friend of yours?
Well, I only met him last weekend at the country club, but we got along famously, if I do say so.
And Nelson Humpstone wants to meet me?
He called me up specially this morning before I was hardly awake.
Peavy, it's a small world.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, I told him I'd try to have you both to dinner this evening, Throckmorton. Do you think he could make it?
Leela, I think that could be arranged.
It's all a matter of organization. Organization or know-how. They said it couldn't be done. Humpstone, they said it can't be done. Well, sir...
Excuse me. Bertie, I'm afraid Mr. Humpstone's glass is empty.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, forgive me, Mr. Humpstone. Continue.
You're sure this is not boring?
Oh, gracious, not at all. I think it's fascinating.
Fascinating. Well, sir, you won't believe this, but as of August 1st, we were turning them out at the rate of 90,000 a day. That's over 600,000 per week.
Say, that's nothing. At the time I resigned from the water department, you know how many gallons we were pumping? 800,000 per.
Per week?
No, per month. What do you think of that in quarts, brother? That's a lot of water.
Excuse me, Mr. Gilsey, but how about another little piece of peach shortcake, huh? I've got just one slice left.
No, Bertie. That's for the guest of honor, Mr. Humpstone.
Oh, I couldn't.
Oh, but I insist.
Oh, no, really.
Oh, Mr. Humpstone, please.
I really shouldn't.
Pretty, please.
Well.
I'll take it as a personal insult if you don't. That's an old southern recipe I learned in Savannah.
What's the matter, Bertie?
That ain't no southern recipe. I got that recipe off the flower day.
Bertie is such a jewel.
Mr. Gildersleeve was kind enough to lend it to me for the evening. I hope he'll be kind enough to take her with him when he goes.
Well, wherever the recipe came from, the shortcake is delicious.
Yeah.
In fact, the whole dinner has been delicious.
Thanks. I mean, yes, it has, Leela.
It's such a relief to get away from restaurants and enjoy a good home-cooked meal for a change.
Oh, you're not married, then?
No, I never seem to have found the time somehow.
How interesting. I should have invited another girl this evening for Throckmorton, but I decided I'd just keep you two men all to myself. Wasn't I wicked?
Have a cigar, Mr. Humpstone.
No, try one of mine.
No, have one of these. They're 2 for $35.
These are imported. I'd like to know what you think of them.
Well, in that case, fair exchange is no robbery, I guess.
You don't mind, Mrs. Ransom?
Oh, not at all. Gracious, I love the smell of cigars.
Oh, have one, Leela.
Throckmorton, you're outrageous.
I am.
Well, now, if you'll excuse me, I know you men have things you want to talk over, so I'll just leave you alone with your cigars. Oh, don't get up.
Oh, I insist.
Oh, allow me.
Oh, thank you. Gracious, it's so long since anybody's pulled out my chair for me. Now, don't you talk about me when I'm gone, you hear?
Charming woman, charming. Well, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well,
Mr. Helpstone. It's been a real pleasure meeting you this evening. Something I've been looking forward to.
Well, I think I can safely say that the feeling is mutual, Mr. Helpstone.
Yes, sir. I understand you resigned from the water department here to go into private industry.
Oh, yes, yes. I've had numerous offers, which I'm considering at the moment. I haven't decided on any yet.
I believe I read something in the paper about your planning to form a company and go into production shortly on some household article. Mousetrap, was it?
Oh, yes, that. Well, there are still a few bugs in that we'll have to get ironed out. Have to change the formula, I'm afraid. Not make it so tasty. That's more in the nature of a hobby with me anyway, though. That is to say, it wouldn't prevent my working at something else.
Oh, I see.
Yes. I foresee a great big future for the post-war industry, Mr. Helpstone. A big future. I have great faith in it.
Oh, I quite agree.
As a matter of fact, that's something I'd like to talk with you about.
Please feel perfectly free to do so.
Oh, thank you. You're with the International Bolt and Screw, are you not?
Well, the factory here is a subsidiary.
Yes, I understand. Very fine organization, International Bolt and Screw, from what I hear.
Yes, quite an outfit, IBNS. Quite an outfit.
Large.
Very.
Must take a lot of men to run it.
Yes, it does.
I was thinking, Mr. Helpstone, you'll be expanding after the war. You'll be taking on more men for peacetime production. And it's not too early now to start planning ahead.
Oh, but there you're wrong, Mr. Gildersleeve. The company's already cutting down.
Cutting down?
Yes. You see, this factory was only open to take care of government contracts. Now that the contracts are being terminated, unfortunately...
Guess there's not much use in my asking you for a job, then.
Asking me for what? I was going to ask you for one.
Why, you four-flusher? You got me over here to dinner just so that you could ask
now,
me...
Just a minute, just a minute. Didn't you do the same?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, I did. Confound it, Helpstone. Do you realize there's another income tax installment due December 15th?
Do I realize it? I'm a month overdue on the last one.
And with prices what they are... You know, I paid a grocery bill of $97 last month. $97.
I can well believe it. I wish you could see my hotel bill.
And my car. Falling to pieces. Gotta have my brakes relined. Tell you, Helpstone, I don't know what this country is coming to.
Quiet. Here comes our hostess.
Oh.
I suppose you settle the fate of the world, you two. Won't you join me in the party?
Oh, by all means. After you, Mr. Helpstone.
Oh, no, after you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you. Yes, as I was saying, Mr. Helpstone, my faith in the future of post-war industry in this country remains unwavering.
Exactly my opinion, Mr. Gildersleeve. We see eye to eye.
Yes, sir. I believe we face a future that'll be measured not in thousands, not in millions, but in billions.
Let me know if you hear of anything, Humpy.
I'll do that, Gildy.
Yes, sir. There are great days ahead. And... Well, Peavy, that's the way it is. McGee turned out to be a faker and Helpstone was a fraud.
Well, you know what they say, Mr. Gildersleeve. The best laid plans of mice and men gang after glee.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's all water over the dam now anyway. Just have to get out and find work, I guess. That's the main thing anyway, to be working. They say it's work that makes the world go round. Honest toil, nothing to be ashamed of. Work. Yeah, I guess that's the most important thing in a man's life. His work.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Work. By George, how I hate it. Good night, Peavy. Good night, everybody.
This program was directed by Claude Sweet. This is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products. Kraft invites you to listen again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's The Great Gildersleeve, October 15th, 1944, Seeking Employment, starring Hal Perry.
We are back at the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Your ex-husband shouldn't be living in your basement. That's not the proper way to be divorced.
Okay. I don't know where I'm going to put you. Dad, don't go in there. Mom's in there.
And we have Bob on the line from Mount Prospect. Hey, Bob.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Great. Do you know that celebrity voice?
Yes, that's Jennifer Lawrence.
You are absolutely right, Bob. You are a winner. You know you've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can check out their menu at loumalnati's.com. And you have won a $20 gift card for Anna Shea Chocolates and Lounge. They are located in the Arboretum of South Barrington. And you can check them out at annashaechocolates.com. That's S-H-E-A. Bob, thanks so much for calling in. We hope that you'll keep listening.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks very much.
Oh, great.
Thanks, Bob. All right, it's time for the clock. This was a mystery series that originated in England and then immigrated to New York City. And in 1946, it started on the air on ABC. William Conrad and later Charles Webster voiced the clock, and Tennessee-born Harp McGuire voiced the clock in 1955 when it was produced in Australia. Now, the clock cast Time, Lisa, as the narrator who made many observations about how he, Time, affected people's lives. Plots usually involve people in trouble or danger, with Time playing a key to their fate. I think you'll like this. This is going back to December 25th, 1947, so Christmas of 47. It's called The Past or the Present. It stars Harp McGuire now as the clock.
Sunrise and sunset, promise and fulfillment, birth and death. The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time. We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
Do you like ghost stories? Do you like to feel the blood run down your spinal column like the mercury in a thermometer that's been plunged into ice-cold water? Throughout the ages, people have enjoyed listening to tales of the supernatural, although few believe the supernatural exists. I was one of those cynics myself until I heard about Kay and Larry Cowling. Now, I'm not so sure. The subject of time has a great deal to do with our preoccupation with ghosts. On one side of the fence, we have the realists. You live your own life on Earth, and you don't return. On the other side, we have the romantics. The people who feel that the past is part of the present. The scoffers make fun of them. They demand proof when a ghost appears, and so far, no one has been able to produce a genuine set of, shall we say, supernatural fingerprints. But tonight, we'll leave the realists with their fingerprints and their hard, cold facts, and lend an ear to a pair of likable young romantics. The story of Kay and Larry Cowling can undoubtedly be explained logically. But that depends, of course, on whether you have a logical turn of mind.
Sleepy, darling?
No, just relax.
Too many cocktails before dinner, I guess. Where are we now?
Not too far from New York.
I don't think we ought to drive very late tonight, Larry. Especially after those drinks and that big dinner. You're liable to doze off at the wheel.
Now, I'm being very careful. I would have stayed in New York if we could have gotten a hotel room. I will find some kind of a tourist place along the road.
It's awfully woodsy around here, isn't it?
Yeah, this whole section is pretty famous in the history books. Revolutionary War stuff.
According to the guidebooks, George Washington must have gotten around an awful lot. He seems to have slept in every house around here.
Yeah, the tourist places use that gag to come on for gullible Middle Westerners like us.
Wasn't New York wonderful?
Oh, boy.
I wish we weren't going home so soon.
Oh, we can come back sometime. Honeymoon can't last forever, sugar. Papa's got to go back and make a little dough.
Oh, it's too bad we couldn't stay on longer, though. Dying to buy a few antiques.
Oh, listen, half that stuff is phony. They get hold of a rocking chair, kick it around till it looks like it's been through a war, then up the price until you Alexander Hamilton used it.
Oh, you and your hard-headed realism. You've no romance.
Not at all.
Well, wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Now, what you driving?
out there?
Rain?
Looks that way. It's been threatening for half an hour.
Now we'll have to find a place for the night.
She comes. I'll close that window, honey.
Goodness, it's a cloudburst.
We won't drown, but I can't guarantee the car. We should have kept on the main highway. This road will turn into a mud hole inside of 5 minutes.
Are you sure you know where we are, darling?
New Jersey, somewhere. Now, we'll stop at the first house and check our directions.
Larry, look out!
Phew. That was a close one. Oh, now I don't know whether we can get out or not. No, I don't think so. Well, we're stuck, Kate.
Here?
Oh, darling, I didn't pick the spot. Well, we'll try it again. No, it's no use. We're stuck fast.
Now what?
We stay here until the rain stops.
But it's getting so dark, Larry.
Would you prefer to walk?
In this rain?
Wait a minute. What's that shining through the woods?
It looks like a house light.
It doesn't seem bright enough for that. Oh, well, we may as well take a chance. Come on, honey. We'll make a run for it. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Let's go.
Look at it, Larry. Real colonial.
Wait to admire the architecture. Hurry, come on.
I'm going as fast as I can.
Oh, coming down like crazy. Hey, get onto this tree, Kay. Mill it up in a minute or so. If we try to cross that clearing, we'll get soaked. Right.
Did you see the house again when that lightning flashed?
Yeah, all shutters and white shingles.
There's some kind of a lamp burning over the door.
Looks like candlelight from here.
This seems so quiet.
Oh, there must be someone there if the lights are on.
We can't stand here all night, darling. The rain's getting at us even through the trees.
Here, pull your coat over your head.
Oh, Larry, my head, it fell off. Oh,
where is it? I can't see it. Wait a minute.
Oh, never mind. The hat's ruined anyhow.
Come on, let's make a dash for that porch. Come on. Here we are. What's that sign say over the door there, Kay?
Ye oldie Sunnyside Inn.
Sunnyside is right.
But it must be a hotel, Larry. Isn't that a break?
I hope they got a room for us. Where's the doorbell?
There isn't any. Oh, here's a knocker over here.
Oh, I can see it's going to be one of those quaint little joints.
Larry?
What?
Look over there.
Why, they're horses.
With saddles on them. They're hitched to those posts.
I've never seen saddles like that before. Oh, good evening.
What do you want?
Well, a room if you have one.
We're not taking strangers in tonight.
You run a hotel, don't you?
Find another spot to tether your horses. Tonight the place is closed.
Bring him in, Bess. No fit night for a dog.
But saddle.
Who is a sea woman?
Come in.
Well, thanks.
Go in and tend to your guests. Their throats are parched and they're calling for ale.
All right, all right.
Where are you from, Sheriff?
La Porte.
La Porte? In France?
No, Indiana.
Indiana? What in the name of Satan is Indiana?
Why, you don't know where Indiana is?
Say, what kind of a gag is this?
Gang?
Yeah, what's the idea of that get-up?
You speak the king's English, and yet your language is foreign. So is your dress. Well, no matter. You're here for the night. Set yourself at that table, and I'll see you about your lodgings.
Larry, isn't he queer?
You got a load of that outfit? Knee breeches and a wig.
And the old lady, she was wearing a costume.
Well, he'd certainly do it up brown in here.
What do you mean?
Well, this atmosphere, it's like a masquerade.
You think they're just putting on an act?
Well, of course, Kate. I'll bet the tourists eat it up.
But why was she so rude to us? They didn't sound as if they were very anxious to have guests.
All part of background. I think it was kind of cute if we weren't so wet.
Larry?
Yeah?
Look at this room.
Well, what about it? It's a bunch of antiques.
But these antiques are new.
So what?
And look at the candles along the walls. They don't have electric lights either.
Oh, part of routine, that's all.
I'm not so sure.
You're not so sure of what?
There's something about this place. It frightens me.
Oh, now, look, don't be silly, honey.
Well, look at the guns leaning against the fireplace.
Old-fashioned muskets. Decorations, probably.
If they're decorations, why aren't they hanging on the wall? Why are they so shiny and new?
Search me.
Well, Larry, let's get out of here.
No, honey, it's raining cats and dogs. As long as we've got a place to stay, let's keep it. May not be able to find another, and that car won't budge.
The old woman's coming back again, Larry.
I brought you 2 tankards of ale. It'll warm your bones a bit.
Ale? Oh, sounds okay. I'd rather have a martini, but ale'll do.
Martini?
Dry.
Is this martini, fish, or fowl?
A martini is a drink, lady. Well, thanks for the ale. Boy, this stuff is good.
The Hoskins house is noted for its brew.
Oh, it's awfully strong.
Who knocks?
Open up.
Your Excellency.
Has he arrived?
Not yet, Your Excellency.
Larry, he's dressed like the others.
Pray be seated, Your Excellency. I'll tell my husband you're here.
Who are these two?
Travelers, Your Excellency. We gave them shelter from the rain.
I told you to take in no guests.
It was Hoskins.
Never mind. Then to prepare my quarters.
In all haste, Your Excellency.
A pretty rough night, isn't it?
I don't know you.
Oh, my name's Cowling. This is my wife.
How do you do?
Good evening.
And your name?
You don't know who I am?
I don't believe we've ever met.
Met? Well, really.
What's he laughing at?
I don't know. But the man is rather rude.
What was that you said?
You heard me.
Larry, please don't start anything.
Yes. Tell your husband to hold his tongue. If he displeases me, I may have to cut his off.
Why, I'll kick your teeth.
Larry!
In. What am I supposed to do, stand for his lip?
He's got a pistol in his hand.
Well, hey.
You needn't pale. I'm not wasting this bullet on such as you. I'm saving it for a friend.
I've never seen a pistol like that before.
It looks like a museum piece.
Your remarks are as stupid as your countenance. Keep them to yourself. Or this museum piece may make some conversation of its own.
Your Excellency, your quarters are ready.
Good. I'm to be called 1 hour before the dawn. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. What kind of a joint is this, anyway?
Larry, I'm afraid.
Of what? These clowns? I'm taking a little part of the act, that's all.
But, Larry, maybe they're not putting on an act.
What?
Well, suppose... Oh, you'd only laugh.
No, I wouldn't. Come on, what is it, Kate? Tell me.
Do you believe in the supernatural?
Well, you mean ghosts and things like that?
Oh, not exactly.
Well, then what?
Well, these people, Larry, they exist. Well, I mean, we see them, we talk to them, and yet I don't think they're alive.
Oh, hey, now, take it easy. You need some rest, honey.
I knew you wouldn't understand. Why should you? I don't understand myself.
They're nuts, that's what they are. Crackpots. And when we get out of here, I'm making a full report to the local cops.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Oh, come on, lie down over here, baby.
Aren't you going to try to get some sleep yourself?
No, I've got some heavy thinking to do between now and morning. Get us out. I don't know why I didn't think of this before. I'm going to tear these sheets into strips to make a rope. I'll lower you from the window first, then follow you.
Well, suppose they see us, Larry.
I won't have to take a chance.
The dawn's coming up. It stopped raining.
Yeah.
Trees look so unreal. It's like a dream, Larry. The whole thing is like a dream.
Then it's time we woke up. Okay, baby, come over here to the window. Are you scared?
Just a little.
You'll be all right. Here, help me with... Ah, a rotten break.
Oh, what's the matter?
Now look at that clearing down there.
Larry?
Yeah, six of them. They'd spot us in a minute if we try to get out.
What are they doing?
It looks like they're holding some kind of a meeting. Oh, wait. Hey!
Larry, it's a dune.
Oh, holy smoke.
Those men over there are doctors. Look at the instruments on the table.
Oh, the two in the middle must be seconds. The guy in the white shirts with the pistols.
One of them is the man we met downstairs, the one they call Excellency.
Yeah. Where have I seen the other one before?
I've seen him too, Larry. Or at least I've seen his picture.
They're back to back now. Now I know why they let us in here and kept us prisoner.
They'll kill each other, Larry.
Steady, Kay. Steady.
Ladies and gentlemen. One, two, three, four.
Larry!
The one on the right just shot into the sky. He did it deliberately, Kay.
But the other one.
Yeah, look at him. Why, look at the coward. He's taking aim, Kay. He's... Why...
Well, I hope you're enjoying our excursion into the supernatural. But I'm afraid Larry and Kay aren't.
Somebody's coming in. I'm going to take a sock at him. It's our only chance.
No, Larry, don't. They'll kill us if you do.
Easy now.
You saw the duel?
Duel? Ah, don't make me laugh. That was murder.
You're wanted downstairs in the tap room. Come with me. And mind you don't try any tricks.
I'm going to watch for an opening, Kay. When it comes, get ready to run.
He's carrying someone in.
That's the guy who was shot.
Well, look at his shirt front, Larry. It's covered with blood.
He hasn't got a chance. He'll be dead inside of an hour.
Put him in the coroner room. Surgeons will probe for the bullet.
Here are the strangers, sir.
I'll take care of them. You stay with him. Well, you witnessed the duel?
Oh, yes. We witnessed the duel.
Come into the tap room.
Huh? Where's the hero? Where's His Excellency? He did a very fancy job.
Be quiet.
He's got a wonderful sense of fair play. What do they call him besides Your Excellency? The butcher?
I said be quiet.
Larry.
I won't be quiet. This man is a murderer. He ought to be jailed.
Were you referring to me?
You're darn tootin' I was referring to you. Your opponent deliberately fired into the air, and then you killed him in cold blood.
Your language is offensive, sir.
Well, that's too bad.
I demand an immediate apology.
How would you like a punch in the jaw instead?
Larry, please.
I see you still don't know who I am.
You young fool, he's one of the best shots in the country.
I've just got rid of a major nuisance in my life. Now I shall be forced to wipe out a minor one. You will give me satisfaction on the green tomorrow, sir.
No.
And meanwhile, you'll take my glove in your face.
I work without gloves, brother. Like this. Thanks for your hospitality. Come on, Kay, let's get out of here fast. It's the next turn, officer. About half a mile down.
We'll reach our car in just a minute.
That story of yours isn't straight, mister. You're spending a night in the cooler.
I tell you, it happened just as I described it to you.
They were all dressed in those funny clothes, and we saw the duel.
Yeah, and one of them was killed. No question about it. He was hit in the heart. He didn't have a chance.
Well, Larry, there's the car.
You see, officer, thief still stuck in the road.
Oh, where's the house?
On the left, about 300 yards up behind the tree.
Wasn't it on the right, Larry?
No, no, on the left.
Will you make up your mind?
Oh, look, it was this way. Come with me.
You know, I thought I knew every inch of this country. What kind of a house was it?
Well, colonial. Looked brand new. They're just being freshly painted.
Well, there was a porch and a garden in the back.
Hey, watch them branches. They're sharp.
Well, that's funny. It wasn't as wild as this last night.
We didn't have to go through all this underbrush to reach the house. There was a path here.
Yeah, and it was clear behind those trees.
You sure we're going right?
Well, maybe we're...
Oh, Larry, look, my hat. I lost it last night, remember?
Oh, sure, yeah. Look, there it is. Why, we probably came...
Larry!
Is that the house you're talking about?
Why, it couldn't be.
Let's go up.
That house is old, officer. The weeds are growing right up to the door.
Freshly painted, huh? This dump ain't had a paintbrush on it for 100 years.
Just look at the inside. It's falling apart.
Well, we must have made a mistake.
Larry, look at it closely. It could be the same house if it were new.
You know, I got a half a mind to yank you
look,
in.
Look, I tell you, officer, we weren't trying to kid you. I swear we weren't.
Did you have any drinks last night?
Just one or two.
One or two, huh? You must be plastered, that's what. This shack's been standing here ever since the Revolution, and nobody's lived in it for 90 years.
But I just can't believe that.
Here you are, wise guy. You answer this ticket in the county court tomorrow. I ain't sure what the charge is going to be yet, but I'll figure out one by the time you show up.
Screwballs. What does it mean, Kay?
I don't know.
Could we have dreamed it?
Oh, you know we didn't.
Maybe we didn't find the right house. Maybe it's off in the woods over there.
Larry, no.
Huh?
Let's not look for it any longer.
Oh, you're right. Better leave well enough alone. Well, we may as well start back to town. I'll get a tow truck to pick up the car. Oh, which reminds me, I hope I got enough cash on me. Let's see. 20, 40, 50. Kay.
What is it, Larry?
You remember the guy who was shot in the duel?
Yeah.
You said he looked familiar. Well, take a look at the face on this $10 bill.
It's the same man, Larry.
Alexander Hamilton.
The glove. The one the other man hit you with. There it is on the floor.
Say, that's right.
It's the gauntlet. And look how old it is. It was new and... Larry, the initials on the wrist.
A.B.
A.B. If the other man was Alexander Hamilton, those initials must stand for...
Aaron Burr. The man who actually did kill Hamilton way back in 1804.
Well, there you are. I give you the story with no apologies and no explanations. The explanations will occur in your minds of their own accord, depending on what side of that fence you're on. A realist might say, for instance, that the Cowlings were rather flighty people, given to rather potent liquids and periodic hallucinations. But then the romantics might retort, where is the proof that it didn't happen? As for me, I take no sides. I've been around long enough to know that sooner or later the facts will out. It's only a matter of time.
The clock will be heard again next week, same time. This program was written by Lawrence Klee and Harp McGuire with The Clock. Also heard were Leon Pierce as Larry, Wynne Nelson as Kay, together with Fifi Banvard, Tom Farley, Owen Weingott, and Ken Warren. The Clock, directed by John Saul, is a Grace Gibson radio production.
That's The Clock with The Past or the Present, starring Harp McGuire, going back to Christmas of 1947. Hope you enjoyed that good mystery.
I wanted to let you know I tried an amazing new thing during the week. It's called iFly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've tried it. It's this world's largest indoor skydiving operation. I was talking to Shane about
it. I was flying high a little earlier. I had Fabio
Viridiani
wine.
Same thing. Have a glass of wine or go to iFly. They just opened their newest location, which is in Lincoln Park. And I went there and I had a little private lesson with Daniel, the instructor. You can go to our Facebook page and check out my...
There's
a video of me looking not terribly coordinated, but having a really great time.
But you look pretty. Not coordinated, but pretty.
Not fantastic, but you guys, check it out. This is iFly in Lincoln Park. Go to iflyworld.com/Lincoln-Park, or just go to our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. Check it out. What a great idea. Kids even 3 years old and up can try it. I'm getting there.
All right, iFly, check it out.
iFly.
Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.